Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
House of Mystery on KKNW 1150 AM Seattle and KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles. I'm hosting today, Al Warren, and of course joining me is Dr. Joe Yusinski. How you doing, Joe?
Great. It's always great to be here.
Another beautiful day. So lots of activity over the last little while. You've been off. We've been doing the reruns for Wednesday. Tell us what you've been up to. I know you went to Vegas.
Yeah, so I got back from Vegas Sunday night. I was there for 4 days at the CSI Con, which is the Center for Scientific Inquiry convention that they have annually. And it was a lot of speakers talking about investigations into the paranormal and pseudoscience and aliens and conspiracy theories.
Ooh, that must have been pretty exciting. What kind of guests do they have there?
So some of the big name guests were Richard Dawkins, who's the preeminent evolutionary biologist. Bill Nye, the science guy, didn't speak, but he was popping around. Brian Dunning, who we've had on the show previously, was there. And there were a lot of people talking about science and, you know, how can we investigate weird topics with a scientific flair to it? Do we just have to throw up our hands and say, oh, well, who knows if people can really bend forks with their fingers or whatnot? Is there a way to study this? So a lot of it was just talking about, you know, let's be skeptical of different claims that people have and see if we can have evidence before we draw a conclusion.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Do you get a lot of so everybody's pretty logical there. Everybody's pretty scientific, or they're more they're not really throwing conspiracy theories out there without any sort of evidence, or is that wrong?
Well, for the most part, no. So there was a really good talk about 9/11 conspiracy theories and sort of taking apart one of the main claims that the 9/11 truthers have, which is that jet fuel can't melt steel. And they showed that it doesn't take that much to melt, you know, iron and steel and whatnot. And people have been doing it for, you know, thousands of years with methods less sophisticated than smashing, you know, jet airliners filled with fuel into buildings. So they say, you know, a lot of these claims can be investigated and they just don't hold water. They might sound good, you know, but they just don't hold water once you investigate and apply logic to it. But the one thing I will say is that a lot of the people there sort of purge themselves of, you know, unevidenced beliefs in most areas. So these are people who don't believe in ESP or an afterlife or a soul or telekinesis or alien visitation or things like that. But when I was speaking, I did get the impression that they're not unlike other normal people when it comes to their political views. Because when I started to talk about political conspiracy theories and why people hold their political opinions, that's where I seemed to get a little bit of more pushback. Maybe it was only in my mind, but that was the part where the crowd got a little more silent, particularly when I went after Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, of course. Because the majority of the academics tend to be on the liberal side, right?
Yeah, I mean, not all the people there were academics, but they were very scientifically inclined people. But I would get the impression that there weren't any Trump voters there. You know, but I will say, I mean, I think I created some cognitive dissonance talking about Sanders and his conspiracy theories because, you know, Sanders pushes a lot of ideas, you know, both political and non-political ideas throughout his career that just don't have a scientific basis behind them. Like, he's been involved with pseudoscience, saying that, you know, having a bad mental outlook causes cancer. I mean, I just don't think there's good evidence for that.
Right.
And his ideas about how the economy works, you know, saying the 1% controls everything, just isn't true. I mean, there are no economy textbooks that say this. You know, and a lot of the people that follow Sanders have conspiracy beliefs. You know, Sanders supporters were more likely to believe that vaccines, you know, had serious negative side effects than Clinton voters. So these people probably, you know, a lot of them were either Sanders or Clinton supporters and probably a little bit shocked to find out the people on their side and candidates on their side engaged in it too.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a line of conspiracy. Like, what I mean is, so a Sanders supporter might think that, you know, the vaccines are bad for you, or that something about the economy or about stress and being upset causes cancer. They might have that, but I think they draw a line saying that's not necessarily conspiracy, and they'll put something like the truthers of 9/11 as a conspiracy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. I mean that's something we all have to a degree. We all believe in one or a few conspiracy theories, but for us, they're not conspiracy theories. They're conspiracy facts. It's the other guy who believes in conspiracy theories. We don't do it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, just like the other guy is greedy, we're not greedy. That's the other guy.
Well, of course. And that, you know, and that actually comes out with the George Soros, and today how I guess someone planted a bomb or bomb stuff around his house. So a lot of people put him as an evil person. You know, he's a Nazi and all these things. What's your thought on that? And who planted the bombs? Was it like Trump?
Well, I put on Twitter yesterday. I said by the end of the week, these will be the ideas on Twitter. And it's A, Trump did it. B, Hillary Clinton did it. C, that, you know, the people on the MH370 flight came back and did it. So, you're going to have the range of usual suspects getting accused, but until we know, it's all, you know, obviously speculation. But now it's Soros. There's a bomb went to the Clintons. A bomb went to the Obamas. So there's bombs going around everywhere. I mean, and, you know, obviously of three, so it seems like a pattern of going after high-profile liberal people. I don't know why anyone would go after the Obamas at this point, because they're sort of out of the game. you know, it's an ex-president, you know, and he's not really doing anything, you know. So normally people who are out of the game, you know, don't get, you know, people coming after them. It's if it is indeed a conspiracy theorist who's doing it, you think they would, you know, I could understand Soros because, you know, there are conspiracy theories saying Soros is actively subverting democracy.
Right. Right.
You know, so for that reason, it makes sense, you know, it makes sense to them to take some sort of action.
Well, it could be someone that's just trying to put a shock to people or to give a statement in a way, like by doing Obama and Clinton and all that. And I hear CNN had to be evacuated as well. So when you look at all of that, it could be someone just trying, not thinking that any of the bombs will really get through. But it makes news.
Yeah. And that would be a weird thing to do, right? Because you're going to go to prison forever. Whether you sent it, you know, not to go off and just to frighten people, compared to if you sent it and it really did go off. I mean, that's just not a joking matter.
No, it isn't. But what level is it going to go to? Because people, you know, look at what the pizza thing, you know, and Pizzagate and all that. And people actually go as far as killing people over these conspiracies that obviously are not true.
Yeah. And I don't want to get, you know, to make sure that we're not getting, the audience doesn't think we're getting too far ahead of the data at this point, because we don't know who's doing it or what their motivation is, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah. But, I mean, if we were to make guesses, I'd probably say it's somebody who's sort of motivated by politics. They're probably on the right because their targets are on the left, and they seem to be motivated by probably a conspiracy thing because Soros, you know, people are only going to go after Soros if they believe that Soros is somehow pulling strings, you know, for some reason or another.
Well, and they've never really had any solid evidence against Soros, have they? I mean, that picture saying that he was a Nazi, we know that's not real. So what exactly is it about Soros that's causing a conspiracy?
Well, the left and right both have their boogeymen, right?
Right.
You know, the right says, oh, it's Soros funding all these things. And that's the way for them to say, you know, every protest, every, you know, is really just AstroTurf. It's just George Soros paying people to go and disrupt and riot and protest and whatnot. And the left has it too. And they say, oh, the Koch brothers are, you know, doing this and that and the other thing, and they're bad people. I mean, the right engages in this clearly, but the left does it too. I mean, a good example is one of the first commercials from Obama's reelection campaign in 2012 opened up with a screen that said shadowy billionaires are out to, you know, tarnish the president's good record. I mean, shadowy oil billionaires. I mean, we know who they are. They're the Koch brothers. They're not shadowy. We know exactly what they're doing. We know who they give their money to and why and for what reasons. And there's nothing shadowy about it, but it was framed in a conspiratorial way. So, and that's, you know, and that's not good either. So both sides do it to one degree or another, and they probably shouldn't, because eventually you're going to get somebody who, you know, wants to take action on it.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's a strange thing. And in one of the Kennedy JFK groups about the assassination, I noticed that, and I said something in the group because they were talking about Bill Gates and Soros and all of that. And I realized that you can realize what type of group you're in when all it is the one side, you know, or the other side. It's kind of strange how people go together like that and just kind of regurgitate these whole things. You know, at the CSI, who do you think was the most interesting for you?
Well, you know, I was really there to see James Randi. I was really there to speak, and that's why I was invited. But seeing James Randi, the magician and person who debunks people who claim to have real psychic powers. I think that was the most interesting thing to me. I mean, he's really old. I don't know how old, but I would say 90 or something like that. But, I mean, he still talks great, and he's very entertaining. And he's really done a lot of work for the world trying to rid us of these charlatans who claim to have these real powers, you know. And the James Randi Educational Foundation has had $1 million award out there for decades, saying anyone who can prove under controlled scientific conditions that they have real psychic powers or real paranormal powers gets $1 million. And it's they've never been able to prove it.
Yeah.
So, and that tells us something. So, good for him for doing that, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder, but if it'll ever really leave us, because that sort of afterlife question has been around for forever, and people deal with it in different ways. You know,
no, it's so tempting, right? Like, I'd love to believe that, you know, I die and go to some magic place that's all wonderful, and we all get along, and you know. But I mean, until you can prove it, I mean, it's just sort of wishful thinking, right?
Right. But it all sort of fits in that same way. I think aliens, I think religion, and even magic to a bit, psychics, the whole phenomena, isn't it all related to something afterwards that we don't have to die? Isn't that sort of it, do you think?
Yeah, in some ways. And, you know, it can be, those beliefs can be sort of harmless, but on the other hand, they can be really dangerous too and self-destructive because, like, I know 19 guys who believed in a really good afterlife and they flew buildings into planes. They flew planes into buildings.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what I hear.
So all these people who say, oh, you know, this life doesn't really matter, it's the next. Well, I don't want to be near that person because it's like, if you don't think what you do right now matters, then I don't want to be around you because the things that you do matter to me.
Right. Right.
So, you know, on the one hand, if you say, well, you know, something might happen after, I might go to some nice kingdom with God or whatever. All right. But when you get to the extremes, those sort of beliefs can be very dangerous. And at the least, they can make you not value what you have right now.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, it's so important that people value the lives that they have at this moment and make the most of it.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think because of that, you know, like Randy's thought of offering money for proof, it would never work. It would never happen, whether you had someone that could do it or not. People are still going to believe because,
yeah.
You know, I don't know in a free society if you can actually eliminate that kind of thinking.
No, I mean, it would be tough, but I mean, certain things go away over time, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
And, you know, but when I poll on these sorts of things, you still get big numbers of people. I think almost a majority believe that ghosts walk the earth and interact with humans. The people have psychic powers. The people can see the future, or they believe in, you know, prophecies of one form or another. So these beliefs are there. And I think what scientists have to do, particularly in the classroom, is just sort of help people think through these things a little bit more. I mean, like with Bible prophecy, so many people believe in these Bible prophecies, but a lot of these things are just terrible, terrible prophecies that you can't really say are true or not true.
Yeah. Oh, and that's kind of the.
And it's the same thing with all the stuff that Q says. You know, it's stuff that, you know, you can interpret any way you want to make it true, and at that point, it's not really good prophecy.
Well, doesn't that speak toward our society? Like, you know, even we can go to Trump. We can go to anybody that has some, even Sanders, not so much now, but anybody that had a kind of a mob following. And I don't mean that in a negative term. I'm not saying angry mob. but you know, what I mean is the type of person that would actually go out to a Trump rally, hold a sign and scream and cheer. I mean, that's your right. Everything's great. But I don't get the mob mentality. Even if this person you like is the best thing since sliced bread, even if they're doing a really good job. But we see that in society all the time, you know, over singers and movie stars and Kardashians and all this stuff. Like, we idolize these people and they become perfect. I just don't know how we can eliminate that.
Yeah, and I think people need to be very careful not to just go whole hog in on some of these political figures. Like, I remember when I was in grad school out in Arizona, and I think the ticket was Kerry and John Edwards. And people had, you know, students on campus were holding signs saying, "I love John Edwards." and it's just sort of an interesting example, because I was like, why do you love this guy? I mean, you don't know him. You've never met him. And you know nothing about him except for the fact that he's a Democrat and running for vice president. And as it turns out, the guy's kind of a skis.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, why were you saying you love him? He's, you know, doesn't have very good morals.
Well, maybe that's what they love.
maybe they knew everything about him and like that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's like guys cheat on their wives when they're getting cancer treatments, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I don't understand, is how someone can be all over another human being like they're a god. They're the next coming of Christ. But I think that because
it's the opposite. It's the opposite way too. I mean, like, if anyone's watching TV now and you have all these stupid political commercials on, you know, for the first couple of weeks of the campaign, all the commercials are very positive. Like, I'm so-and-so, I'm running for Congress, you know, I used to sweep floors, and now I'm a business person, and now I want to vote, whatever.
Yeah.
And now it's just nasty stuff coming out. And it's, everyone's corrupt. This person's under investigation, that person took a check from so-and-so, it's shady dealings, you know.
Yeah, and what's this about blackface and that whole thing, too? Have you heard that?
No, what happened with that?
Well, apparently, something about people are going to dress their children up for Halloween in blackface. So they're going to take their white kids, you know, for Halloween and dress them up, you know, put them up like a blackface.
Okay.
And, of course, there's something racist about this. And there's people saying, no, it's not racist to do that. And it's kind of like, I'm just sort of surprised that it comes to that. In politics,
I mean, first of all, I mean, a lot of this debate. So Megyn Kelly got in trouble for it.
That's right. She's the one that, yeah.
You know, she said, you know, somebody dressed up as Diana Ross and they darkened their skin to look more like Diana Ross. You know, and the response is, you know, it can be very offensive because that has a long history of dehumanizing African Americans. You know, which, you know, I completely understand. On the other hand, sometimes the concern about Halloween costumes goes too far.
Well, it's, you know, you can dress up like Pocahontas and that's considered a bad thing. And, you know, then the president is calling for and Pocahontas. I don't know. It just, it's all questionable. And what about all of these, you know, bringing Soros into it, the caravan of immigrants? Like, what is that all about?
Well, you have a caravan of immigrants working their way north, and Trump says that there's Middle Eastern terrorists sneaking in with the caravan, which I doubt to be true, and there's no evidence of that at this point. And Trump's going to use it as a campaign issue. And it's a really good campaign issue for Republicans because they are the party of anti-immigration. And no matter how you frame this, you're going to scare a lot of people saying, you know, it just makes perfect news because just the word caravan And everyone can immediately say, oh my God, and you see a line of people walking through Mexico coming towards us. You know, so when we do national polls and say questions like, do you think the government's hiding the true cost of immigration from taxpayers? 55% of Americans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Americans say yes. So that's not just one party, that's both parties to some degree saying that they believe in immigration conspiracy theories. When you ask it in Florida, you get 40%. And that's like, in Florida's like a best case scenario because we're a very immigration rich state. So there's something out there across Americans that is very suspicious of immigration, and if you package something like this just right, you can easily use it to your political advantage.
So you think that'll give them a plus in the campaign now?
Oh yeah, and it's something like that can easily be used by all these PACs out there to put out commercials that say, you know, caravan coming towards the border right now, trying to break in. Who knows who's there and who they want to kill?
Yeah,
but so-and-so is soft on immigration.
Yeah, it's kind of the same old generic. But we can't really, I don't know. People will fall for that. They'll get scared.
It will activate something that they already believe and make it actionable right now, right? And to me, I mean, if you look at the people coming in this caravan, these people are not a threat. These are the most vulnerable people, you know, on this side of the continent, on this side of the planet. I mean, these are people who are just looking for better opportunity and jobs and whatnot. They're not coming to kill us. But, you know, you can frame it however you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it puts the Democrats in a bad spot because it's not as if Democratic voters, really want the caravan coming here either. I mean, neither party is in favor of open immigration. Neither party, is really that much in favor of letting people come in and work and whatnot. You have protectionism running through both parties.
Yeah, and they don't make it clear enough where they stand.
Yeah, I mean, even someone like Sanders, who's a far left candidate. He's not in favor of open borders. He's not in favor of letting people come in and work jobs for a limited period of time. He's beholden to a lot of interests who want to limit the job market here. They don't want more people coming into work because that's going to depress wages. Or at least that's what they say.
Yeah. And it's one of those, but that's not made clear enough. I don't think people realize that as much as they should.
I mean, I believe in borders, and I believe that we should have people, you should know who's coming in and out. But most of this country is empty.
Yeah.
So we're not in danger of overpopulating. I mean, you go anywhere off the coast, and all of a sudden, it's empty. So there's plenty of room to put people, to build. And more people means more production, more ideas, more stuff to go around. And that's a good thing. And there's always the danger of depressing wages in some sectors for a short period of time. There's always some displacement. But there's ways that the government can mitigate that very easily. But the government doesn't do it. And so you wind up with some constituencies that are hurt by immigration, at least in the short term. But overall, the net effect of immigration is a very, very good thing. And if you look at the countries whose populations are going down, they're not doing better, they're doing worse. So as Americans live better lives and as our situation improves, we just naturally have less kids, which means to maintain our lifestyle, we should be bringing more people here. And that's just a good thing in so many ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And remember, listeners, to send your hate mail to Joe.
Yeah.
Because there'll be some. Now.
Yeah, and then my simple response is, so how did you get here?
Yeah. Well, I know, but it's too much logic. Richard Dawkins, did you get to meet him and talk to him?
He walked by me a whole bunch of times, and I think I waved once or twice, but he and I actually filmed a TV show for Britain's ITV together, separately. But I did get to hear him talk on stage, and he's still incredibly good and great to listen to. And the interest now is just, fighting the anti-scientific beliefs. As best you can. And it's not easy. So, I mean, we have major problems right now. Like, everyone thinks fake news is an issue right now, but there have been, horrible beliefs forever. The people in this group have been fighting against, paranormal and alien and all sorts of these beliefs for decades. And so they would say we've probably been in the era of fake news forever.
Well, yeah. Well, there's always going to be that. It's just when it becomes a problem. Did they lay out any kind of plans or ideas to fight or to develop people into more scientific thinking or to be appreciative of more science?
So to be appreciative, yes. In terms of what we do next, I just don't know because... as it was pointed out, like when you give people information that contradicts what they believe, they will have a tendency to not only discount it, but double down on their wrong beliefs. I mean, it would be great if we could all believe in magic, right? And but unfortunately, we find out it's not true. It's sort of deflating a balloon. And I guess we need to find something more magical and more fun to replace those beliefs with. And a lot of people think science isn't that fun, but I think you can find the magic and the hope and all these things in science. Look out in the universe. I mean, the size is immense. The things that are out there are amazing. And, you know, to me, that's more fun than believing that some dude can melt forks with his thumb.
We're going to have Yuri on in about 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
His agent just let us know yesterday that he's good to do the show. So Mr. Geller's going to be on. So
am I going to be on with him, or is that another? That'll be another day.
Well, you know, you never know what day he wants to be on. I don't know how he is on challenges toward what he's done or said he's done. I don't know. I've never seen him in a conflict on a show myself.
Well, a good one to look up on YouTube is there's a show with him and James Randi, and they appear together. And I think Bill Bixby, the guy who used to play the Hulk back in the 70s, is on it. And James Randi says, you know, this is a bunch of gibberish. And Yuri Geller says that he's helping people fix their radios and TV sets all over the country with magic. So they didn't settle the debate there. But I'm more inclined to go with James Randi than I am with Yuri Geller. But, I mean, nonetheless, Geller's led a fascinating life, and there's still people who give him a lot of money to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, he's still doing well. He has an agent, so he's doing okay. I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe it'd be good. And, of course, Steven Pinker said he'd come on the show here in November as well.
Another really, you know, another person I saw at the conference was the magician Banachek. Now, he's featured very heavily in the James Randi Netflix documentary, but he was one of the people that worked with Randi to take down the televangelist Peter Popoff, the faith healer, and to go in and infiltrate the government funding of paranormal research. So he was one of these young people that the government was paying millions of dollars for these research projects, and they believed that he had real psyop power. And then they were able they came out at the end and they said, let us tell you how we did it. We faked it the whole time. And the scientists were so into it that they allowed themselves to be tricked over and over and over again.
Wow. It's amazing what can happen again with that personality.
You know, if you want to believe something, you will find the evidence to tell you that you're right, and you will discard or ignore or avoid all the other evidence. And that's what makes science so good. As science, you have to take all the evidence, not just the evidence that tells you what you want.
But I'm a runway model.
Hey, me too.
See, so there you go. And it's what I believe. That's it. And I'm going to help fix radios. I think that's pretty amazing. There's something to be said for that. What about the, you know, we've had this on. That brings this up to me. We've had a lot of people that were in the, remote viewing sort of thing for the government agencies. So what do you think that's all about? Do you think there's absolutely no power in mind?
If there is, it hasn't been demonstrated yet. And that's the thing. I mean, I was in class. I was teaching class this past summer, and I had a student who told me that her friend bought these magic metal balls that apparently you tape to your ear, and they help you lose weight. And I said, that sounds ridiculous. How could this possibly work? And she goes, well, it worked. And I said, well, how do you know it worked? She said, well, my friend lost weight. And I said, well, how do you know that's what did it? And her answer was, well, she had the metal balls stuck to her ears. So, of course, that was what did it. But you imagine if the person changed their diet and exercise and they were actively working to lose weight, then they're going to lose weight. And the metal ball just happens to be there making them look goofy, but has no effect on what they're doing. And that's the same thing. All of us can predict something. All of us can think of something that's probably going to be a true prediction or is probably going on in the other room right now, but it doesn't make us psychic. It's just, there are certain things we can predict, and there's nothing psychic about it. People can predict what I'm going to wear tomorrow. That's because I wear jeans all the time. There's nothing psychic about that. It's just if you're going to do these remote viewing things, if you're going to say that you can make good predictions or tell us prophecy, it's got to be specific. And it's got to be something out of the ordinary. On the History Channel, which is a channel that has nothing to do with history anymore.
Oh, I know. It's terrible.
Yeah. The night before the 2016 presidential election, they put on a show saying, did Nostradamus predict the 2016 election? and they said that he did because he used the word trumpet. And that must have meant Trump.
Oh, my.
I mean, if that's your standard, then you can make anything predict anything.
Oh, that's just crazy. That's crazy. But that channel's gone crazy anyway. I mean, same as... I'll say that about Discovery and stuff like that. A lot of those are not very scientific anymore,
Yeah, and even like the Animal Planet channel, they have all these shows about fake animals like Bigfoots and mermaids and whatnot.
Yeah.
I thought it was about real animals, not
like humans. Wow. And now I noticed in the CSI that Stephen Fry was a headline. What did he bring to the show? I'm sort of surprised.
So he talked for a while, and he was just really, really great. Just a all-around nice guy, and he's been a long time on TV, sort of pushing back against these paranormal and supernatural beliefs, but very gracious and just really. Really incredible to listen to. So you wouldn't think you would have a Hollywood person, right. An actor showing up at one of these things. Because a lot of the people talked about were Hollywood types, particularly Gwyneth Paltrow, whose Goop brand sells a lot of pseudoscience stuff. But he was very sharp and, was part of the fight against these beliefs.
Yeah, I was just surprised because I know him because I watch a lot of ITV. It's common in my Canadian residence to have ITV. So I was just surprised to see him. So now, what's the plans for that for CSI? I guess that goes on every year. Does it go on in Vegas?
Yeah, so they do it in Vegas every year, it looks like, and they put all the talks on YouTube after the conference. So I don't think they do it immediately, but over the next few months, all these talks will be made available. And if people want to look them up on YouTube, go to CSI Con and put that into YouTube, and you'll find a lot of great talks from last year. So they make all this stuff available to the public too, but if you attend, it's really, really amazing because, I'm just, walking around and hey, there's Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
now just so, cause we get, when I'm on the show on other times and I get, a lot of people that slam Bill Nye, the Science Guy, saying he's not a real scientist and stuff. And I don't know him. I've never met him. What do you think of him? Like, is he real scientific, or what's the story behind him?
So, he's a science communicator, and he does that pretty well. And, all of us have our faults, and I'm sure people could go look at him, and he's probably had beliefs that might not have been true. But the good thing about him is where he's been wrong in the past, he's updated. So I give him a lot of credit for that. But we need more people like him who are willing to learn the science and then communicate it to others. So for that reason, I view him positively.
And the Skeptoid podcast, the guy Brian Dunning, he was there. He didn't speak, but did he?
No, he didn't speak, but he was there. And Brian Dunning, I mean, you can listen to our previous show with him. He's very, very good. And he's got, if you go to skeptoid.com, he's got a lot of really great 15-minute podcasts where he gives the story behind a whole lot of different things, like chemtrails or anything like that. He gets into the science behind it, and they're just really entertaining. So I strongly recommend that. But a great guy to chat with as well. I got to spend some time with him in Vegas.
Do you know, I was just thinking about that. Do you know that if someone like Alex Jones says anything, if he comes up with any sort of comment, I automatically think it's BS. Do you know what I mean? He's gotten to the point where there's nothing I believe. There's absolutely nothing. And in fact, if he said something, if he makes a statement, whatever it is that he said is completely fake. That's in my mind. I just wonder if that's sort of something that happens, and that's why there's also a lot of the right attack on media.
Well, I imagine if – because you can go through InfoWars stuff, and a lot of it's just crazy gibberish. You know, like stuff about zombies and things like that. Stuff just is not true. And even though a lot of it's predictions, a lot of it would have come true by now, but it didn't. So there's a lot of wrong information and wrong claims and bad predictions. Does that mean I think he should be banned? And the answer is no.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. As one, I'm big into the First Amendment, and even wrong people have a right to speak. But I think we're better off with more media sources than less, and I just don't like putting it into a few people's hands, the power just to ban and silence, because I don't trust them. And I think that as a society, we're much better off with more voices than less. And that's that.
Well, we certainly have a lot more voices now.
Yeah, I mean, we should democratize media rather than to put it back in the hands of a few gatekeepers. I mean, if we want to demarcate things as, you know, if we want to find ways to demarcate different news sources as more or less credible, then, hey, let's do that. Let's figure out ways to do that, but let's not ban.
Yeah, I agree. Freedom of speech is the most important.
And that's not to say that I don't want Alex Jones to be held responsible for things that he said that may have caused harm or damage to people. That's unacceptable. But the more, you know, him just saying zombies are coming to get us, I don't really care about that.
Zombies and half humans and apes and all the stuff he's got. Yeah, it's just craziness. And we had his ex-wife on, hey?
And how was she?
She's quite good. I was surprised, but she's sure mad at him.
Well, you know.
that's the nicest I can say. She's sure angry with that man, but it's all good. It's all good. So now we're going to continue the series of conspiracy, and we're going to talk about all sorts of things in the upcoming season here. We're going to have a lot of interesting guests, hopefully a lot of these people from the CSI Con. And any ideas people have, please let us know. The show with Brian Dunning and the Snowflakes both made the top 10 for the year already for our series, and even iTunes put that as number 2 and number 7 for our most popular shows for the year.
Wow.
So those two shows just blew the top off. And so there's a good interest for it. So this is great. So,
well, Dunning, by the way, I was in contact with him this morning. He's getting attacked by all the Q people on Twitter right now. So all the QAnon supporters are going after him. So he's had to turn off his notifications for a while.
Wow. What have they got against him?
Because he says it's probably not real.
Oh, well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, what's... Like, I don't get that, because he can go out and say, oh, yeah, it's not real. But they're just giving him a lot of attention then by doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and he said it's a lot. The question he had for me is that he's getting a lot of female Q supporters. And he said, is this the normal thing? Because you would think it'd be all these dudes.
Right.
That are sitting at their Twitter accounts being very angry and aggressive. But he's saying it's a lot of women. And my response to him was, well, it's hard to know who it is, because it could be Russian bots or, you know, some unemployed Slovakian guy getting paid by Putin to, you know, just cause trouble. You know, who knows?
Could be Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. But I said, you know, I've had a lot of women Q supporters come after me too. So you just don't know.
Yeah, you just don't know. You don't even know. You know, they're behind the fence. I haven't had too many attacks, but it couldn't be something that's put us on the map. Just, you know, because of those two shows doing so well, that's a lot of listeners they're getting. And so there you go. Maybe you'll get some attacks too now. Hey.
Okay.
Well, another great show. Stay tuned. We'll be back next Wednesday, every Wednesday, to talk about conspiracy. So, Joe, it's been another great show. Thank you for joining us and being here.
Thank you. It's always fun.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.